You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
You see, I put my back out because I was being a bit daft. I played tug of war against 20 kids. Guess who won? Don't we do these daft and crazy things? If you're able and you'd like to open your Bibles, if you haven't got a Bible this morning, stick your hand up. Dave will bring you a Bible for sure. I would encourage you to have the scriptures open in front of you this morning. Would anybody like a Bible? Anybody not got a Bible that would like one? Do please. Yeah, there's a couple of rounds. It's good to have God's word open. At the front here, Dave, is another one. Thank you. Let's open this up. This is precious. Do you know some people haven't got the word of God? Would you like one? Let's pass them around. Let's make sure everybody's got a Bible that wants one this morning. I'd love to run out of Bibles. Bless you guys. We're in Ephesians 4. Another one at the front, if we may, please. Thank you. Do you know how precious this is? Do you know how precious this is? This is what changes our lives, what's written in this book. And God's Holy Spirit breathing that into life in our hearts. So when we come to the reading this morning, you know, have it open in front of you. We might have a few different versions amongst us this morning. But God wants to speak to us through this. Now, this is what Scripture says. We might have some opinions on it. We might have some thoughts on it. But this is what Scripture says. And here we are in Ephesians 4, and it says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." There's that word then. "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Let's pray. Father, I pray you would open up your word to us this morning. Father, we don't want to come here this morning and just pay lip service to you and sing some songs and get a sense of feeling something. Lord, you go far beyond what we feel. Lord, you want to write things on our hearts. And Father, for this passage this morning, Lord, I believe you've got a tough word to say to us this morning, but a word that is going to bring life. Lord, I pray that none of us would take offense of your word this morning, and it wouldn't be death to us, but it would be life. So Father, come, Take away any of me from this message this morning, that, Lord, your words would be heard, that our lives would be changed. In the next 20 minutes, you can change things in our lives that are weighing us down. So, Father, I pray that you would come and heal through your word this morning, that you would build us up, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So here we are in Ephesians 4. We're halfway through Ephesians. It will soon be Christmas as well, so the year is progressing very quickly. But when I first started in Ephesians, I mentioned that there was actually a number of ways that people divide the letter up. And actually what seemed most fitting for our journey here at Limbrick Wood was that we looked at the doctrines and the truths, those things, those very practical things that God was speaking about, those truths in chapters 1 to 3, and then we get the very practical applications from chapters 4 to 6 here on in. So we're here in chapter 4, and I can honestly say there is so much in the first part of this chapter that I'd love to have split it over 2 or 3 weeks in actual fact. So I'm not going to be able to unpack everything in detail. So if you've got some little pet bits in there, like, oh, I wonder what he's going to say on whatever, I'm not necessarily going to be able to dive into it in the detail I'd like to this morning. I'm sure we can look at some of that midweek. But I want to flag up the main points that I think God wants to challenge us on as church here. Now, during the week, I found a little chart for those that came to the midweek study. I found this really nice. I didn't write it. I wish I could have had enough time to sit down and do this. But it looked at all the things that were in Ephesians 1 to 3. Things like our spiritual wealth, our privilege, revelation, beliefs, our heritage in Christ, the work of Christ, the word of God, our identity, the position of a believer. There was all these things that were mentioned and spoken about in Ephesians 1 to 3. But in chapters 4 to 6... you've got the outworking of those things. So, for example, when I understand the revelation of God's word, I have a responsibility to that word. And this is unpacked in Ephesians 4 to 6. Depending on what I believe shapes my behavior. So there are a number of things that were in Ephesians 1 to 3 that have laid down that foundation. And here we are in Ephesians 4 to 6 onwards to say, okay, God, how do we work this out? So as we move into chapters 4 to 6 with their very specific applications, I found a quote here by Martin Lloyd-Jones. And it's summed up. It's got some really good words in this, so bear with it. The Apostle Paul, he says, makes the connection between faith and practice quite clear. He has laid down the doctrine, what we believe, and it's now got to be applied. Now, doctrine must always come first, and we must never reverse this order. It is, I repeat, the invariable practice in the New Testament itself to speak of doctrine before the application of doctrine. We must not act until we are clear about our doctrine. He says this is beyond all question the most vital principle of all in connection with the New Testament doctrine of sanctification. What a big word there. So it says we are entitled to say that from chapter 4 onwards, Paul is introducing us to this doctrine of sanctification. The first three chapters of the epistle, with all its astonishing teaching, have not considered the doctrine of sanctification as such. He says the doctrine of the sealing of the Spirit and the experience of it is not sanctification. To know the love of Christ is not sanctification. To be filled with all the fullness of God is not sanctification. So he asks, what then is the relationship between these things? Is it that those things that promote sanctification, that encourage sanctification, and give us motives for sanctification, but they are not sanctification itself? It, that is sanctification, is the outworking, the outliving, by the power that God gives us and that is already in us. Of the doctrine we've believed and the experiences we've enjoyed from his gracious hands. Now that sounds a little bit heavy maybe. There's a lot, the word sanctification is in there a lot. But look, I believe he can't shortcut any of these processes. And that's that process of sanctification that Martin Lloyd-Jones is speaking about, it requires actions and accountability. And actions and accountability growth will take place as a result of the knowledge that we have. Now, if you remember back last week, Ephesians 3, in verse 19, and it's there in your Bibles too, it says, "And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And I ask the question, how can we know something that surpasses knowledge? And what was our answer? We can't. You can't know something that surpasses knowledge, can we? We have to experience it. We have to live it out and let it transform us. And this is how Paul is starting here in Ephesians 4. Right in verse 1, he says, look in your Bibles, it says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Now, I've got an offering here of your sense of calling. And I really look forward to praying over these and asking God for his revelation about what you've written down here. But I don't want you just to leave your calling on a sheet of paper. That'd be dreadful if you came to church and you said, "This is what I think God's got for me," and it stays on a piece of paper. We've got to see this being outworked in our lives. And as I said before, it's no matter what age you are, from the very little to what you might consider you had more active years in you, no matter what your abilities are or have not. I love Ephesians 4:12. Ephesians 4:12 says, "To equip his people for works of service that the body of Christ may be built up." That was a verse that was given to me right in the early part of my Christian walk. And there's nothing I love better than seeing that little humble offering that people have and it turns into something absolutely amazing. I mentioned it last week about my precious little family, and they are precious to me. I see them pulling together what are their humble offerings. Okay, you might say Nikki plays the piano very well. She worked at that very hard. Jasmine sings and plays the bass guitar. She's terrified. Poppy plays the drums. And for some reason, they let me strum a guitar. And you know, when I first came to God, when I first was journeying with God, and someone gave me a guitar, they taught me a D chord. Anybody learnt the D chord on a guitar? I know you're a bit better on the guitar. That D chord, it's all I had. I had that one chord, and someone encouraged me to play that D chord. They opened up a book, Songs of Hymns and Fellowship, never heard of it. That's got lots of D's in it. Great. So I strummed a D and they sung. And when I strummed the D again, they carried on singing. I thought, well, this is pretty clever, isn't it? I wonder what this G and this A is all about. And then I started to learn these other things. My humble offering was one guitar chord. It's all I had. And then that's grown. And God took that very simple offering and gave me something more. Okay, I had to work at it. But I've said it before to a number of people. What's your D chord? What's your one little thing you can do? Or I can only do the cleaning. Or I can only do the, you know, God takes that and turns it into something amazing. And why mention my family? Well, Poppy could sit there and play the drums and she could make your ears bleed. I could do the same with my guitar, probably. But put us all together, and what happens is we serve you. And we together, we worship God. You know, Paul is asking us here to come together as his body. Whatever you think your humble little offering is this morning, God can do something amazing with it. But let's be honest and look each other in the eye. It's tough sometimes, isn't it? It's hard. And just when we think we've got it right, something comes along and will give us that little curveball. You know, after this last week, I've met with a number of folk who've either served in churches for many years, been Christians for many, many, many years, and suddenly they hit a brick wall that stops them in their tracks. It stops us in our tracks. So come on, Scripture, what can we do about this? Look in verse 2. What does it say? Ephesians 4, verse 2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You know, sometimes we can really hurt each other without knowing it. And if our particular role, maybe in church or in society, wherever it is, takes a little bit of a knock as a result, as an oversight from somebody else, or there's a misunderstanding. And let's be honest, sometimes we just don't see eye to eye on certain issues. My way is better. What does it say in verse 4? Paul continues. He says, look, there's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. God's word wants to challenge us. Someone shared a word with me last week after last week's service. And they felt that God was saying to them, some real hurts here in Limbrick Woods. They need healing for the sake of Limbrick Woods. And the words that person shared with me is, we need to repent of some stuff. I felt also as we were praying that there were some individuals here with maybe some real brokenness. And I've been doing some readings throughout the week, and it was talking about that pain and those things that we bury, those wounds that are just bleeding continually in your lives. It was put like this in something I was reading, that never-ending movie that you keep playing over and over and over in your head. That one that never gets to an end and then it starts again and you keep going around in this vicious circle in your mind. Never, ever, ever getting to an end. As I was praying for this, I really believe God is calling Limbrick Wood as a whole, but also us individually, just as Paul here is pleading for the Ephesians, that power and release from those verses 2 to 6 is put into effect. So look at it in your Bibles. It says there's one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father. And when that unity is coupled with the humility and the gentleness, that long-suffering and loving forbearance, what a lovely word, as in verse 2 there. When you link those up, my prayer is that those debatable issues, those misunderstandings, when one's position is perceived to be attacked at work or in society or in church, our prayer is it's not going to become divisive, even if we don't see eye to eye. Christ must be our peace. And if you want to flick back a page or scroll up, if we go back to Ephesians 2 and in verse 14, do you remember when we were in Ephesians 2? It says, for he himself is our peace, who made the two groups one and has destroyed their barrier, that dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. Hit that button, Morris. Add those two things together, we should get peace. And in that one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. I'm going to show you some slides again, not because it took me hours to make them, but because I think it really highlights this point that what God wants to drive this home this morning. So if we hit the first one, we've got God. And the next one shows that there was Jew and Gentile. This was the example that I gave back here in Ephesians 2. And there is this barrier that goes between God and us. There is that barrier there. That's that dividing wall. There was also, it says here, a dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. So We're all separated. And then God did something. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And that cross removed that barrier to God. Hit the button. So there, we've got that cross. The barrier is removed. But when that wall is removed through the cross, if we have access to God, if Jew has access to Gentile and so on, hit the button again, there's some arrows there. We've actually got access to each other and to God. And he gets rid of all of those barriers. And what is left, it says here, is grace and peace. So my challenge last time was, what is the barrier between me and you, fill in the blank? Where is that hostility? Where is the body broken for you? Where are you still bleeding? Where is that movie playing over and over and over in your mind? Because look, if you don't accept the work of the cross, that barrier has been taken away, you've still got a blockage to God if you're not going to come through the cross. God wants us to be at peace with each other and actually with ourselves, I believe, to have his agenda and his work here at Limbrick Woods. So let's remind ourselves again, this requires a body. And it says in Scripture here, in unity, holding on to those seven elements. You can see it there in verses 4 to 5, the one body, the one spirit, and so on, back in Ephesians 4. Those elements that unite believers in the one body of Christ. And when, and it will come, that we're tempted to break unity, don't get me wrong, there's an enemy out there, he's busy. We need to remember these unifying truths. This is what makes us different as church. And if you're not going to go back to the Scripture, you're not going to go back to what is written, well, we can read a bit further on what happens when we're not there. But hang on, Darren, you're talking about unity and we're all individuals, aren't we? And we are. And it's interesting, if you want to look at Ephesians 4 as a whole there at the beginning, Paul switches his writings from unity there in verses 4 to 6 to diversity, which we're going to look at now in 7 to 10, and then goes back again to unity in 11 to 16. So in verse 7 he says, "But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." We have to remember that Christ is the head. And look, I want to pause just for a moment this morning because I believe God needs some space and time to talk to us this morning. You see, for each of us to really ask God to show us if we've wronged each other this morning, is there anything where we've wronged each other? Where we've not forgiven each other? Where we're not living in unity? Maybe there's something that's stopping us from entering into all that God has for us. And in a moment of silence, in a minute, if God prompts you, then I urge you to plead. I plead with you, as Paul did to the Ephesians, to put that right. Let's be honest this morning. There's only an enemy that wants to divide us. There's only an enemy that wants to destroy this church. There's only an enemy that wants to break us as individuals. And I know this is not an easy question, but are you going to hold on to those hurts? Hold on to your pride? I might be in dangerous territory here. Your sense of being too proud to say sorry. Or even that feeling of silliness to say, well, it was such a long time ago, I'd be so silly to say sorry for that now. All of us know hurts fester, don't we? They really do. And my sense that God is saying to us as church this morning, I want you to stop bleeding. Stop bleeding and start healing for the sake of Christ and the gospel. It could be 40 years ago and you've carried it and it's going round and round in your mind. It could have happened this week and you haven't been able to put it down. I want us to take a moment of silence. I want you to ask God to say, reveal to my heart, is there anything that I need to put right? And then I'm going to ask you the question, what are you going to do about it? So let's take a moment. Lord, if our journey with you is not a two-way conversation, if we're rushing in and out of your presence and not listening to the things that you want to say to us, we're going to miss out on your plan. We're going to miss out on all that you have for our lives. We're going to find ourselves sat on the sidelines or broken or feeling unworthy. Lord, we've got to be different as church. We've got to recognize who you are. And that wonderful peace that comes from being set free from all of those things that could ensnare us. Lord, I believe you're speaking to our hearts this morning. I believe we know those things. And Father, I pray that you would help us to put those things right. Lord, if that means speaking to one another at the end of the service, if that means making a phone call when we get home, Lord, help us to be salt and light. We don't want to just be people here that hope it works out okay. Let us change things for the sake of the gospel. Let us heal things for the sake of the gospel. Amen. I don't know what God's saying to your heart this morning. I know that he loves you. And if you want to write something down for a moment, then write it down. Don't lose this moment, because God wants to move us on as his people here. I mentioned at the beginning that there's so much here in Ephesians 4 that I'd like to unpack this morning. But let's look at that concluding part from verse 11 onwards. I want you to note, look, we are his people here, and we all have different gifts. And for those that may have studied Ephesians before, you might wonder here in verse 11 if I'm going to start to unpack this thing called fivefold ministry. Anybody heard of the fivefold ministry? Well, there's a few people screwing their arms up, but they have. I'm not going to unpack it this morning. If you've not heard of it, don't worry about it this morning. I don't want to lose the focus of what I believe God is saying and doing. We can do a separate midweek study on that if you want to. But for the purposes of what I think the Spirit is saying today, I want to recognize that our gifts and our calling are to be refined until we are individually good at our roles, so that we can squash those around us that don't know their Bibles very well and are not very good at using their gifts. So that for some of us here, we will get to look like great Christians. That's what it says, doesn't it? Absolutely not. Nobody shouted at me. I thought you'd all boo at me and hiss or something then. What's he on? It's not what the Bible says, is it? It really isn't what the Bible says. If we're to truly love Christ and follow him, we need to start denying ourselves, putting others first, picking up our cross daily, keeping short accounts with each other, and stop throwing our rattles out of the pram if things don't go quite as we would like. I said before, one of my favorite passages in Ephesians 4:12, it says, we are to build one another up. I can give myself 10 out of 10 for tearing people down. I'm very good at that, naturally. I'm sure I could upset all of you. I'm very good at that. I could get top marks on that. But we're called to more than that. We're called to be mature. And look, I think Scripture is saying to us this morning, I'm not being harsh with this, but I think we need to learn to grow up. We've got to learn to grow up. If we really know God, and we've been looking at this in the rest of Ephesians, if we really know our position in Christ, if we really know our calling, and hopefully within these walls here at Limbrick Woods, we know we're going to be a safe environment where we can build one another up and stop being tossed around, as it says in verse 14. Look there in verse 14. If we're not mature, then it says, if we are mature, sorry, it says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. We must learn to grow up, to become sanctified, that journey, that standing firm in the truth, as Paul explained in Ephesians 1 to 3. Now each of us, it says, from verse 16, must do its work. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Each part does its work. All of us are important. Look, I want to encourage us as church this morning. I want to build us up this morning. Limbrick Wood is welcoming, yes? I hope you found Limbrick Wood welcoming this morning. It has a hunger for God. I think you've got a hunger for God, haven't you? Are you afraid of change? It's debatable, isn't it? Let's see when it comes. But we need our wits about us. Because let's be honest, we're all broken people, aren't we? We recognise that. We're all broken. And someone said this to me once. They said, when my unfinished side meets your unfinished side, it's never pretty. It's never pretty. So how do we move forwards into all that God has for us? I think Scripture tells us quite clearly with this. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, if there's some things that you go, I need to put that to death in my life, if there's some things you need to repent of, what do? Confess it. You know, and you should be in a safe place where you can do that this morning. We should be able to love one another so much that when these things come along that ensnare us, that I need to repent of that, I should be able to know I can go to church and say, look what's happened. I repent of that and confess that. Pray for me. I bet we kind of go, phew, I'm not taking that to church. What if they found out? They won't think I'm a very good Christian, will they? That's not what church... If that's church, what are we doing? People out there that need to hear the good news are going to go, well, I'd mess it up if I went in there. Come on. Let's be a place. Let's be a hospital where people can come and they can get that healing. They can confess. And I don't know, this spoke to me because I am like this. If there's some things that are causing you to bleed... That never-ending movie, I think that's a lovely picture. Do you have that never-ending movie, that scenario? Well, they said this, and I said this, and if I said that, they would have said that, and then oh, it doesn't get to the end. And then if I said this, and they said that, and it goes over and over in your head. And like I say, for some of us, that could have been 40 years ago. Well, they said that, and it really hurt me. And now it's stopping me from entering into everything that God has. If there's some things that are causing you to bleed, be healed. Let's heal it. There's so much in these 16 verses I'd love to unpick today, but I think what God wants to do for us here is to bring some healing so that we can grow again. We're seeing growth come, but we need to be a healthy body. And we spoke about this midweek. I'm going to close with this. Look, God wants to sanctify our lives. What does that mean? He wants to make them holy. He wants us to be set apart. He wants us to be pure and free from sin. And the reality is, he has the power to do that. The Scripture tells us he stands at the door and he knocks. And are we going to let him in? To sup with him, to dine with him. Do you want to grow and mature, attaining to that whole measure of the fullness of Christ? Because this is what's on offer here. Look, if the body is to function, thanks, Dave, it all needs to work in unity. Even if a small part, and you might think it's a very small part, that's your offering, your hurt, your pain, if you're in that, I guarantee that the whole body is going to hurt I am only barely standing here this morning because I have ripped muscle in my back. It's horrendous. It's shaping my thinking this morning. It's controlling my clarity. I cannot wait to sit down. I have no idea how I'm going to put the guitar strap over my head in a minute. My whole body is affected. And actually, it could have maybe stopped me coming from church to church this morning. And then you'd have got someone in far better. What is this thing that's going on in my back? It's affecting the whole body. Look, for each and every one of us here, if we are Christ's body in this place, and it's bleeding, it's in pain, we're not going to be able to grow. And I don't know what God's saying to you this morning, and this is not off the back of any particular conversations this week. You know, there's folk that haven't been able to make it here this morning because they're bleeding at the moment. And we need to find out why. Because God wants to build his body here. And I put those things up on the screen, you can see. I think they're very simple to take away. Is there anything you need to confess this morning? Is there anybody you need to go and say sorry to? Is there anything that you need to push the stop button on in that movie in your mind so that you can heal? God brings his healing. How many people here have experienced God's healing? More than half. Well, that's okay. So for the rest of us, we need some healing then, don't we? We need some healing. And then we will grow, and then we will mature, and then we'll be no longer tossed around by every wave of teaching that comes along. We said last week, didn't we? The world isn't necessarily going to get a better place. Read scripture. It tells you how it's going to end. But what we can do is we can set our course sure and steady through that. And that comes about by being mature. Our Ephesians series, it says, what does the Bible say? Do you know? And if you know it, you've got to start working it out this morning.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.